Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Coach Chat Radio. I'm Lori Lawson, and my co-host, fresh off the plane in Florida, is the fantastic...
Well, thank you, Lori. It's Bernie here from New Smyrna Beach in Florida, and looking forward to our call and our guest today.
And we've got all points covered because our guest is in Paris. So, but first, let me tell you a little bit about Coach Chat Radio, and then I'm going to tell you all about our guest. We here at Coach Chat believe if you change your perspective, you can change your life. And what we try to do is bring you a show that's for coaches and those interested in one of the fastest growing professions in the world today. Coach Chat hooks you up with some of the world's leading coaches who share their expertise and give you tips and takeaways for expanding and improving your life and your business. And like I said, our guest today is in Paris. Our guest is Jessica Rojas Buda. I hope I said her name sort of right. Jessica, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Lori.
Good. Let me tell you a little bit about her. I'm not going to give you her whole biography because that would take the whole show up. But Jessica is a coach, consultant, and a trainer who specializes in talent development and career transition. She's based in Paris, and she has created Alba Institute, which is a coaching and training company that offers highly customized coaching programs and services designed to inspire, empower, motivate others to find their purpose and awaken to their true potential. So she's just got an institute going for her there. Some of her credentials, I'm not hitting them all. She's an economist from UCAB, Caracas, Venezuela. She has an MS in international marketing from Rennes School of Business. She has an MBA in entrepreneurship from the Paris School of Business. She's certified as a change facilitator with NLP, an international coach with NLP, and a Dahlquist expert. So, all right, we could go on and on because she has more credentials, but what we want to do is find out what she's doing over there and, all the things that are happening in her coaching world. So, Bernie, go with the first question.
All right, great. Well, thank you for being here, Jessica. And I know that you specialize in career transition, career coaching. And so many people I find today just go it on their own and then seem to mess up a lot of times their career. What is it that you find the most exciting about helping people, in career transitioning?
Well, first, thank you both of you to invite me to your show today. And to answer your question, Bernie, yes, it is. It's career coaching here is giving a lot of people things to talk about. And the most exciting for me is the fact that you can define a path, a professional project with someone, and you see it materialize. You see it becoming true. And I get to work here with people from different profiles, different cultures, who come from completely different companies or countries and all over the world, and they have different projects and everything. So it's, every time I work with them, for me, it means possibilities. And every time I'm working with a client, for them, it also means possibilities because we're discovering every time new things, and for me that's what's the most exciting. Every time we have these aha moments, when they get to discover new things and they see possibilities on those projects. For me, that's what excites me the most.
That's so funny because I think that's why we all do coaching, for the aha moment. So that translates across the ocean and across the world, which is fantastic. Yeah. When you say you work with people, I do career transition, but I am a unilingual person, so I do English mostly good and sometimes not. How do you bridge the gap between cultures? I mean, what's your approach for regular coaching with people and individuals and businesses? And then how do you bridge that gap with the cultures? Because you said you deal with all kinds of different cultures.
Yeah, well, first I try to not to pay attention on the culture. I don't put labels on people. So I think that's something that is very important to do, because regardless where people come from, the culture they have, the country they come from, we all have values, and we all have talents, and we all have something to offer. And that's what I try to see, not the culture. And yes, definitely there are some differences. And the more I work with other people, the more I realize that there are certain things that I have somehow I have to adapt so that I can actually communicate. But to tell you the truth, my approach is based on values. And to explain this, I like to say that I base my work every day on my highest values. For me, my highest values are freedom, flexibility, quality, and guidance. And I know that every time when I do something that is highest in my values, I know that I can reach my maximum potential. And I feel inspired from within instead of just feeling motivated to do something. And this is the approach that I like to have on or to apply on other people as well. I like people to discover what their highest values are, and that they reconnect with what it makes them a truly unique person. And then when they reconnect to these values, then they know I actually help them see that they can be leaders on their own area with their own talents, with everything that defines them as a unique person, and then we can build from that. And then when you are at this point, you know, when the person just realizes that he or she has an authentic set of values that defines them as a person, then we can start building a project from that. And then all the cultural differences and the languages, everything is just elements that are there, but it's not really important.
It's really actually refreshing to hear that, Jessica, because there's so many people today making a lot of money showing differences between Generation X, Generation Y, millennials, baby boomers. It's I can't even keep track of how many different groups of people that consultants are saying are different. And I've always felt, like you, that values are what's important. People aren't the same because they're the same age. So it sounds to me, what do you think about that, what's going on today, which is so many consultants are splitting all the groups up and making like they're all different?
Well, that's very interesting, Bernie, because it is true that there are certain values that are general, that describe or that they can represent the values of a full generation. And it's true that there has been a shift of values in 10 to 20, 15 years, and so that's why we can make this difference among generations and millennials. For example, we say the tendency, especially in the work environment, has changed a lot. We're facing a generation that is not staying a long time in their job positions because they are valuing more autonomy, they are valuing more traveling around, it's not that they are not loyal, but they are not loyal to the company. They are mostly loyal to their own personal values. And whenever they feel, even they are conscious or not about that, but whenever they feel that those values are not fulfilled in their job position, they leave. So, yes, there is a tendency. There are some significant differences, and it has definitely something to do with the digital generation and the arrival of internet and everything, and how this it represents is shortening down the borders and everything, and the information goes faster, and so people, the way they think, this generation think, is completely and is somehow completely different. But in my opinion, I think I respect the consultants and the coaches that are basing their job on that. But as I said before, I don't like to put any labels on people. I think it doesn't help to start categorizing everyone, on regardless of the generation they come from. I think we all have a value. We all have a talent and something to give to the world that is more important. And it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the generation we belong to. That's just my opinion. I understand that people are working different differently.
I love that you're emphasizing that there's a universal connection, because when I travel, and Bernie travels far more than I do, but when I travel to other countries, I always notice that there are some basic things that are just human as opposed to, individual groups. And I agree with you both on the label thing. It's funny, I have a client who just revealed to me that she has Asperger's, which is a relatively newly diagnosed condition. And she said she luckily, and this is her words, luckily escaped the diagnosis as a child. So they just thought she was a little weird, but they didn't put her in this category where it was, they put a label on her like you all are talking. So, yeah, the labels can be helpful. But then again, I'm thinking that it's probably better, as you say, to be a little more flexible and just go with humanity first and the label second. So let me ask you, do you have any specific techniques or tools that you use?
Well, I think every coach has a toolbox, and in my case, then again, I work with some techniques. So I use NLP, for example. I use it a lot. But before thinking about the techniques, I like to make a connection first with the person, and for me, the technique is not what is most important. Is what's the most important is the person that is in front of me. Is my coachee, is the situation the person is going through, and then based on that, then I can adapt the techniques or the tools that I can use. As I said before, I like to work with NLP, because to me that's the technique that I think it creates long-term changes in a very short period. And the idea behind the NLP, for those who doesn't know what NLP is neuro-linguistic programming, and this is those are techniques that work with the subconscious mind, and that's what for me is the most interesting about this technique, because if we understand that most of our actions, our reactions, and our decisions come from the subconscious mind, and here we're talking about 90% of the actions come from the subconscious mind, and with NLP we have access to that 90%, and that helps us program our brain and release us from certain limiting beliefs and issues that are anchored from many years. That's something that NLP gives me access to. And whenever I always apply the techniques first on myself, and then I apply them on clients, obviously, to see how they are going to, what will they have to go through, and to see also the results. And what happens is really magic. For me, it's pretty amazing. And I also like to use, recently I started to use the personality questionnaire, DoQuest, which I think you know very well, Laurie, because you are also
I do.
expert on that. And I recently discovered this, thanks to you, by the way, also for giving me the right advice. And this is the perfect tool that it actually completes the techniques that I use on NLP, because it's a questionnaire that, again, it doesn't put labels on people. It's a questionnaire that helps you understand how you're using your brain, actually, how you perceive the world and how the world perceives you, actually. And it helped us realize a little bit, it helped us realize what are our pillars, which reinforces the values approach that I use. And other thing that I really like about this personality questionnaire is that it shows the potential of the person, and that's huge. Then again, we find another moment, the aha moment. It comes back when you do a debrief and the person just realizes that there's so much potential there. Again, it's unique, and it has the person normally has a lot of value to add to the world. And those are the techniques and the tools that I like to use the most, because it's what I think it creates more value. And then I'm always looking to awaken this potential, and these techniques allow me to do so.
Well, Jessica, what do you find, is there any common theme between many of the people who are coming to you today in terms of what they're finding as big challenges in the workplace today?
It really depends, Bernie, because I have different cases. I have people with different projects. If I had to say that there is something common among them, is I see a lot of fear because they feel like there's a lot of competition, for example. I work with a lot of expatriates as well and international students, for example, and for them it's the fear of not being able to fit, to adapt, for example, not understanding the system. When I work with expatriates who do not speak the language, so that's also something else. So I think in general, but I think that's not new, you know. You see, in general, at times, what we see the most is fear for something. And I really haven't seen a tendency of something particular. It's just in general that's what I keep having the most, and that's the challenges they are facing is mostly fear for something. And yeah, I guess that's, I hope I answered your question, but that's pretty much what I get.
What are some of the techniques? Because I think that's a commonality, fear and fear of losing, you know, especially in the job market. But what are some of the techniques that you use to help people overcome fear?
I go back to NLP. I use a lot of anchoring techniques where I try to put them in a place where they reach their maximum potential. They felt confidence about something, and then I try to anchor that confidence for a certain moment so that they can use that as when they feel fear. Mm-hmm. But you know what I like to use the most, because NLP techniques are very very standard. You can use them pretty much for all cases. You choose the one for each case, of course, but I like to dig a little bit, because fear is it's normally hiding something. And I like to get a bit deeper. So normally, there is a technique that is really good. It's also an NLP technique that is called the line of life, and it takes you all the way back until the moment where you experience fear for the first time. Well, in the case of fears, obviously you can use this for any other kind of issues or any other kind of emotions, but. And this technique, what it helps is to understand the origin of this feeling and what created the insecurity in the first place. And then when we do that, the NLP technique it allows you to do some sort of editing or something like that, and you can change that. Obviously, everything happens in your mind, right? But the thing is that the principle that we use here is that the brain doesn't make any difference between reality and imagination, right? And so if you can go back in time and understand what happened that creates this fear, that makes you feel this fear at the first place, and then you can edit that or start understanding and actually release the person from this original fear, then the person comes with different resources now, and they can go on feeling a lot more confident. And this is something that I've used, and I know it works really, really good. And once this step is done, the rest of the process goes really, really easier, because normally fear doesn't come back. It's really amazing how this works. And this is just the two examples that I can give you. And yeah, as I said before, I like to use a lot NLP, so that's pretty much what I use, yeah.
Thanks.
Jessica, going back to technique for a moment, so many prospects, when they speak to me, want to meet in person. They feel that, oh, I must meet in person, and I'll talk to them about Skype or the phone. What do you find is the most effective for the people that come to you? In person, Skype, just telephone?
Well, to tell you the truth, I tried them all, and I feel comfortable with all of them. It's true that because I actually work with people here in Paris, and we use Skype, even though we're in the same city. I think the most effective method is the one that works well for you and the coachee, the coach and the coachee, because some people feel really comfortable only doing by phone, and that works fine. Skype also works as well, and face-to-face, yeah, that works also okay. I think, to tell you the truth, well, in my case, from my experience, as long as it works for the coachee feels comfortable and gets results, and I feel comfortable with that as well, I think that's the best method for that person.
What is the most prominent kind of way that coaching's done in France? Because I know in America it's mostly on the phone, and people from other countries go, really? People actually pay you to be on the phone? So is that the most prominent? How is that done in France mostly?
Well, the thing is that here people still have the tendency to think about coach as a consultant, and sometimes they think about coach as a therapist. And since the whole concept is not really clear, people still have the tendency to think that they will meet face-to-face in a cabinet, how they call it here.
And or lying on a couch somewhere, yeah. They'll be lying on a couch telling all their secrets. Okay.
Yeah, so it's important to make the difference first and to explain exactly what coaching is and how you're going to, you're working hand by hand with the person, but there are different ways to do it. And what I've seen with my clients, they get used to very easy to work by phone or Skype. And I think people are getting used to it more and more. But I think the practice remains a bit like traditional practice, face-to-face. If you don't have a place to do it, you go to the coach's place, or you find a place to meet. That's in general the tendency, but I think it's starting to change. And it has to, because there are many people doing coaching, and we all come from different schools, but all the schools are trying to make this difference, to make things clear and help them understand that coaching is, you can perfectly do it by phone or even a Skype. That helps a lot.
Jessica, I'm thinking about coaching. Oftentimes clients will come to us for some short-term need, and yet I think career coaching is really for short-term but also for long-term. What do you say the benefits are maybe for someone to have a career coach, but not just for some short-term issue, but maybe over a longer period of time to help them grow in their careers?
Well, I think for me the biggest benefit that someone can have with doing coaching, career coaching, is in general they get to do something that they haven't been able to do by themselves before. So that's, they get to achieve higher goals. And what I get from experience, regardless if it is just a coaching for 3 months or 6 months or even longer than that, they feel inspired. They feel motivated. They feel supported. And so that makes them go on, and they know that they are working towards a goal, and they are building a project that makes sense for them. So that is something that creates a huge difference, and it's definitely a huge benefit for them. And also another thing that I think they benefit from coach is they have a professional that is there to challenge them. And that's the reason actually why they get to achieve higher goals, because everyone has limits, everyone has limiting beliefs, and sometimes we don't dare to ask ourselves certain questions, and having a coach there to challenge you, because that's the whole point. You're not there to tell them what to do. You're there to ask the questions so that they realize that they have all the elements, all the resources, and that they can achieve higher goals. And that's something huge. So that's what I keep getting from my clients, that it's really good as an approach. And I get sometimes comments like, yeah, you know, with you I have the liberty to express myself, because it's like they go through so much pressure. around, and as I said, I work with a lot of expatriates, so they are going through the whole career and cultural adaptation process and everything, so they feel like they have someone to talk to, and definitely that helps a lot when you go through these transition processes as well.
Well, tell us a little bit about the ALBA Institute that you've created. I'm so impressed that you have an institute.
Well, I created it recently. It's something new, and thank you for asking me about that because it's something that I have to market more because it's recent. Well, ALBA, just so you know, ALBA in Spanish means dawn, and the reason I created this is the whole idea behind is to awaken a potential that's asleep. You know, at dawn, your body and your mind is preparing to awake. And so I have this idea that why shouldn't we wake by being a better version of ourselves, right? So that's the whole idea of the name that I have. And I created different packages, individual and company packages, that are based on this idea, awakening talent, awakening a potential. And for example, the individual packages that I created are offered based on career transition, but also to create an inspiring career and for those who are already on the right track and they don't want to change a career, they also have the possibility to develop their talents to achieve their maximum potential. So those are in general, the packages that are created for individual clients. And for companies, the whole idea, well, it's the same, is awakening a potential, but it's mostly based on the fact that companies that work with teams, and the teams are formed by individuals. If the individual is reaching his or her maximum potential, each individual goes through the same process of transformation and developing their talents, the team cannot reach then the maximum potential. So I've created a series of packages that are blended packages. They have training and they have coaching. And the idea behind this is to empower teams in the companies by empowering each individual. Because when, as I said before, when the individual achieves his or her maximum potential, so the team is empowered by itself. And that's the whole idea of ALBA Institute, and it is an institute because there's a lot of training going on, and especially for the companies. And for the individuals, there's the coaching packages, but also I also offer workshops for individuals as well, so they can also learn the main principles of talent development and awakening potential.
And is this on site? Do you go to companies and bring your workshop, or do you have a special place where they? I mean, an institute. I think of a big old building with pillars. so, how do you do that? You're a mobile coach. You go and do whatever's needed at the company.
Yeah, well, because this is starting. It's a project that started recently. This mm-hmm. big idea of the building, the big building, is still a dream. Let's say that it's on progress. So I still don't have the big building, but I do coaching on. I go to the companies, or sometimes, for example, those are companies that are offering programs for their employees, and they rent a place, and so I can go to the place. And I do also a lot of the coaching. I work, for example, for a business school here, so I go to the facilities of the business school as well. And otherwise, here in Paris, there are a lot of room rentals and places where you can actually mm-hmm. rent a place for a full day, and you can offer your training and everything. So that's really not an issue, and I think it's actually quite comfortable for me because I am, for the moment, I don't have the need to hold an entire building. And I only have a few, let's say, collaborators who are working with me, and they are also willing to be mobile as well. So it's working
so far.
That's great. Yeah.
That's great. That's what we do here also. Well, tell us, we only have a few seconds left. Tell us how people can get into, how can they find you? Are you on Facebook or LinkedIn?
Yes,
or?
I have a Facebook page. I have a LinkedIn page as well. They can always reach me. They can always go to the website, www.albainstitute.com, and there they can find the whole contact details. And also you can find there the full information about the individual packages and the company coaching and training packages as well.
Okay, great. It's ALBA, A-L-B-A, Institute. Thank you, Jessica. This has been fantastic. Bernie, thank you. I know you're probably slightly jet-lagged, but thank you for being a great co-host. And we'll remind everybody that we'll see you next month. Take care. Great show, Jessica.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.